Now we are going to study about the character sketches of royalties. Captain Ronald Dancy. The hero, Ronald Dancy, was a captain in the British Army during the war. He fought very bravely and won the BSO. He has just retired from the army because he found army life too dull during peacetime. He has a determined face with high cheekbones, a small deep set, dark eyes and reddish crisp hair. He is a handsome man. Margaret Orme, who knows him well, tells Lady Adela, "Oh, Ronnie's got charm. This Mabel child does not know in the least what she's got hold of. He is the chief character in Loyalties and may be called its hero. Galsworthy does not create any hero or villain of the conventional type. His tragedies do not contain any superhuman hero of the type created by Shakespeare in his tragedies. His characters are ordinary men and women of common life. Dancy is also an ordinary person. He is not a hero in the Shakespearean sense, but he is the most important character in the play. We follow his fortunes from the beginning of the play, and his suicide brings the action to a tragic end. We may therefore call him the hero of this tragedy, a desperate character. Margaret Orme, his cousin and friend who knows him well, calls him a desperate character. He shocks people by taking sudden and quick decisions. He is one of those persons who cannot live without danger. They are all right when they are fighting in a war. He was in his elements when he was fighting in the war, and so he was able to win the DSO. He was also happy when he was hunting man-eaters. But if there is no excitement in life, they make it out of sheer craving. Margaret says, I have seen him do the maddest thing for no mortal reason except the risk. Windsor has known him since his boyhood, and he likes him, but he does not really understand him. He is a queer fellow. He is not very communicative, as no desperate character ever is. It is known to all his friends that he is practically penniless at present, and yet he has recently got married to Mabel. To the surprise of his friends, he wonders how Tuesday's young clerk should stick to his sedentary job, in which there is no thrill at all. Lady Adela rightly remarks, he is really the most reckless person. Inspires true friendship and loyalties. Dancy has stolen money and he keeps his friends in the dark about it. He had an affair with an Italian girl and he married Mabel without telling her anything about it. He deceives her about his theft also, and yet his friends love him sincerely. Colford is an ideal friend, in spite of all that he has done. Colford is loyal to him unto death. General Canning and Windsor shield him, although they know that he is a thief. Mabel is the most devoted wife that a man can have. In spite of all this evil actions, she pledges eternal love and loyalty to him. There must be something in Dancy which inspires this true love and loyalty. His background. Dancy is not a bad man. He is an ex-army officer and a gentleman, and he moves in a high social circle. Why then was he tempted to commit the theft? For understanding this, it is necessary to remember two facts about his early life. One was that before marrying Mabel, he carried on a love intrigue with the daughter of Ricardo, a wine merchant of London. Dancy is afraid of ugly disclosure after his marriage, and so he has to keep this girl and her father satisfied and silent. He has promised to pay £1,000 to Ricardo, but he has no money. He received a letter from Ricardo that morning that unless that money was paid immediately, he would disclose everything to Mabel. Dancy was therefore desperately in need of £1,000. Another fact is that before the play begins, Dancy was driven by necessity to give his more rosemary to De Levis to save the expenses of maintaining this racehorse. De Levis did not want to take the mare at and actually obliged Dancy by taking her. Dancy neither sold the animal to Delavis nor gave it to him with the intention of taking it back. He thought that it was a worthless horse and he felt relieved to part with it. But Delavis finds a purchaser and sells the mare to Kentman for £1,000. This made Dancy mad. He felt that the money was really his and had been robbed from him by Delavis. He was made angry at Delavis's looks, which seemed to say, "You fool, you did not know how good the mare was." The Delavis also laughed at him for his parlor tricks. He was in a very angry mood when he came up. He found that Delavis had locked the room and gone to the bathroom. The window was open and he was sure that the money must be in the room. Being reckless by temperament, he took a quick decision to jump from his balcony to that of Delavis and take the money. It was a thrilling adventure for him. Even in the war, he had not experienced such a dangerous exploit. Afterwards, he had no regrets for having done it, for he was only looting a looter. So this action was quite in keeping with his nature and character. Not a villain. Dancy is not a villain, and he is certainly not a criminal by tendency or temperament. He is a desperate man by nature, and he is in his elements when he has to counter danger. He is living beyond his means and is being blackmailed by Ricardo's. He must find money immediately if he has to prevent the ugly affair from reaching Mabel's ear. If he had thought of the pros and cons of the victim and of its likely consequence, he would not have done it. But he is impulsive and takes decision on the spur of the moment. He could never imagine that he, an honorable guest, and would be suspected, and the jump from one balcony to the other was so dangerous that the police would never imagine that a thief could have come to Delavis's room in this way. Only an athlete like him could trust his limbs to perform this feat of strength and pluck. To others, it would seem an impossibility. So Dancy thought that he could never be exposed. General Canning said that if the judge had seen the position of the balconies, he would have decided that Dancy could never have done it. Rude due to self-respect. At times he can be rude even to his best friend and well-wishers. While Margaret and Lady Adela are talking to Mabel, he comes in. He says, "Very good of you to have come." But this stern face indicates to them that they are not at all welcome. When they look at him, their speech dries up and they quickly leave the place. When the case has collapsed and there is a chance that criminal proceeding may be started against Dancy, his friends like Colford, Margaret and Canning come to Twisden's office. Dancy is already there in the waiting room. Suddenly he comes from behind. They all wish to sympathize with him, but he says, "Oh, clear cut, clear out. I cannot stand coming commiseration, but and let me have some air." He does not want anyone to sympathize with him because of his strong feeling of self-respect. As a soldier, he must bear his misfortunes alone. He does not tolerate the sympathy of even his best friends, victim of racial hatred. One of the motives of the theft was Dancy's intense dislike of the Jew. All the Christian Englishmen in that social circle hated Jews, but Dancy had a special hatred for them. On one occasion, his hatred of the Jew led him to very mean behavior. That was when Delavis came to his house. Dancy asked him to sign an unconditional apology. Delavis naturally refused to sign this. At this, Dancy wanted to thrash him. When Mabel prevented him from doing this, he turned Delavis out of his house with the words, "Get out of there, you swine." Perhaps he feels that he has fought for the country but is still penniless, and this fellow has been sitting at home and yet is so lucky and so rich. He feels that the Jews are robbing everyone, and so in robbing a Jew, he was only looting a looter. Canning and Winsor knew that Dancy had committed the theft. In this interest, they should have persuaded him to return the money and apologize to DeLavis. That would have been an amicable end to the whole episode, but because of their hatred of the Jews, they shielded him and encouraged him to file a suit against DeLavis. When he is finally exposed, his friends cannot save him. Only a bullet can save his honor. He is victim of his own and his friends' prejudice against the Jews. Thus, the life of this brave young man is sacrificed at the altar of racial hatred, pity, and waste. The Dancy's life comes to a tragic end. We are filled with a feeling of pity and waste. He was a bright young officer, and much was expected from him. But his promising young life is just wasted away. His suicide. Dancy's suicide is characteristic of the man. When his guilt is proved and the police comes to arrest him, he shoots himself through the heart. He preferred death to dishonor. To a man of a temperament, a violent death is preferable to a life of disgrace. He meets death like a soldier and never wavers or flinches. This is only another leap, though final and fatal this time, like that one he took from his balcony to steal DeLavis's money. Dancy was a brave soldier. During the war, he was in his elements. After the war, he was at a loose end. His spirit of adventure and resolute courage are put to a wrong use when he takes the daring jump from his balcony to that of DeLavis, when even then he would have escaped, but he comes to a grief because his adversary is a clever and shrewd man. When Nemesis overtake him, he escapes by taking his own life. His punishment, though self-inflicted, excites our feeling of pity for him. The death of Shakespearean hero excites in us the feeling of awe and terror. Dancy's death rouses our feeling of pity for him. This catastrophe could have been avoided if Canning and Winsor had put reasonable limits to their sense of loyalty towards Dancy. Hello of courage. It is hard to decide, writes a critic, which of the two shows are better or worse, this young Jew or Dancy, who, after all, steals, lies, insults, keeps everything from his wife, deceives his friends, and yet, in spite of all, has about him a queer halo of courage and adventure. Thank you.